what am I going to say, in a very important phase right now, building phase that we're going to be entering into, and that, as you can see, is praying for families, and it's really about seeing families saved, seeing families be reconciled, healthy families, happy families, and that's where we're going to be pressing into for a while now. We're going to be pressing into that. So let's pray before we begin. Father, thank you that you're going to share with us that every family derives its name from you. This is where we get fatherhood from. So we want to thank you as by your Holy Spirit you testify to our spirit, Abba Father, so that we can really value and enjoy and know you as our Father, your fatherhood in its incredible fullness. I know we will experience more and more when we leave this earth, but we're asking now that not only for our lives, but for our nation and the nations, the revelation and the experience of your fatherhood will become so real in the lives of the people. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for testifying with our spirit that we are children of God and our Father is our Father, and we can say, Abba Father. We can enjoy being loved by him, living loved by him, and knowing him, experiencing his fatherhood in our lives. And so today I'm going to come and I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, as you just really just set us free from all this stuff and whatever else that's contaminated and tried to block and try and just to distort the fatherhood of God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, as you set us free from that. Lord Jesus, what a privilege that you came to reconcile us back to the Father. You're the way to the Father. You revealed the Father. You're the one that is the one that has opened up the way so that we can come back home. So today, as we even have communion later on, we're celebrating you, Jesus, and bringing us to the Father. And we want to just honor this moment and ask today, Lord, teach us about your Father, our Father. When we speak about our Father in heaven, we want you to just help us to know him more, because you said that this is eternal life, that we may know, that we may experience, we may have firsthand knowledge and experience of the true God, the true Father. And we want to thank you. Remove any false fatherhood stuff so that the true fatherhood of God is revealed to us. And this we receive this morning. We receive it for our families. We receive it for our communities that you've placed us in the name and through your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask this morning. Amen. Amen. Good. Wow. Okay, guys. As you can see over there, we're busy looking at the families. And let me first read the scripture and then give you a bit of the background. Here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul is busy praying for the revelation of the love of Christ to be made known to the believers and about the inheritance that we have. And he says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And that's an incredible truth that Paul is releasing here to the body of Christ, not only to the saved, not only to the believers, the body of Christ, but also concerning all of humanity, because he's speaking about over here that every family finds its source in God the Father. And that's big. So when Paul is speaking about here that from before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, just in the language here, Father is the Greek word is pater, and family is patria, And so the word family derives its name from father. And that's the incredible reality that families, who we are as families, the reality of families comes from the very fatherhood of God. And that is why families has always been under tremendous attack by the demonic. All the time throughout history, right in the beginning, when Adam and Eve fall, they blame one another, destroying family. There's the first death between the two brothers, family. And so right from the beginning there, you can see how the enemy always had a plan to destroy family. So much so that Jesus actually speaks about him as the father of lies, because he as a father, Satan, trying sort of taking the place, always wanting to take the place of God, has become the father of lies. And he has fathered many, many people in the deception, in the lies that he has told, and the trade-offs that take place when it comes to the demonic realm. And so Jesus is the one that came, and that's the good news of God. Jesus has made a way for you and I to come back home, to come back to our Father, to know our Father. That's why he says in John 17, this is eternal life, that you may know the true God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. And so as we start to go into probably the greatest spiritual battle that you and I have been in and will be in for some time, is going to now be in fighting for families, fighting for salvation, for families to be saved, fighting for relatives, fighting for loved ones, fighting for friends and other, you know, all families in your communities, the families in our nations, fighting for their salvation. This is going to be a war that you and I have not yet experienced, okay? And that is why the teaching that the Holy Spirit has been guiding us into, helping us to be established concerning the finished work of Jesus, our starting point, faith, righteousness, what it is to have died with Christ, been raised with Christ, the life of the Spirit, grace, all of this, all of these teachings that the Holy Spirit has been guiding us into has led us to be prepared to be able to be involved in really praying for the salvation of our families and our friends and our communities that we stay in and for our nation and so forth. So that's what we're going to be looking at and participating in much on a Wednesday evening from 5 to about 7:30. We're going to be really going deeper into this, applying this, and all the questions we as we pray for families, we have to learn how to appropriate truth, because we know truth, but we don't yet know how to apply it in every given situation. It has not yet been established in our hearts on many, many occasions. And so that's what the Wednesday night is all about for those that or in our area. It's at Hebrews, so you're welcome to attend. Okay, so Paul is praying. He's kneeling before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. We looked at, last week, we looked at a scripture there in 2 Corinthians, and we looked here in verse 2 through to, I think it was about verse 5, and Paul is writing to the family of God, and he says, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. And we spoke last Sunday about to really renew our mind to the fact that we don't live. We're not part of this world. We're part of the kingdom. We live in the world, and therefore we do not live by the standards of this world. So when it comes to family, praying for family, seeing family saved, we're going to be dealing with the standards of the kingdom. We're using the weapons of the kingdom. We're using the truths of the kingdom. We're using the resources of the kingdom of God. These are the resources that you and I will be using as we go through, because we're dealing with Satan has blinded the minds. And so worldly resources cannot deal with that reality where Satan has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. So we have to learn how to use the spiritual weapons, the spiritual resources that we have in Christ Jesus, to be able to see families, to see our communities, the families in our communities saved. Okay, so we've got to realize that. We've got to have that starting point that we do not live by the standards of this world. Although we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. And then he goes and he speaks about the weapons. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. Okay, because we've got weapons, the word of God, we've got the armor of God, we've got prayer, but praying in tongues, we've got love, we've got patience, we've got all the fruits of the Spirit. All of these things are our weapons, righteousness, etc. All of these things are our weapons that we have in Christ Jesus to engage and to do the spiritual warfare that is necessary for the unsaved family members, the unsaved people in our communities, there at school, in the workplace, all of those folk. We have weapons in Christ Jesus to be able to engage a spiritual warfare so that they can be set free. We've got the gospel, as we proclaim the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation. And so part of our praying as we go on will be at the later stage is really praying for the laborers to be able to go into the families and to be able to share. So evangelists, etc., are going to play a big role in this great building process right now and establishing the kingdom of God within families. So there's a lot that we have to start to appropriate and get engaged in and participate in at that. So where God has placed you, whatever town, whatever workplace, whatever school, in your own families, wherever it is there, this is the time where you're there for a reason. You're born for a moment like this to be able to see families, really be saved and come into the life of Christ Jesus and to become kingdom families, walking in the kingdom, living in the kingdom, and being able to administer and be involved in building the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. So that's reason, that's purpose, is an invitation to be part of something that brings great joy to our Heavenly Father. When for a while now the Holy Spirit's been speaking, and I think I love it, with those that are more seers in the prophetic, because pictures really help me to understand a lot of stuff that the Holy Spirit is busy doing. And on my birthday, someone was just sharing about the building plans and the foundation of righteousness that has already been laid. And I could really ask whatever I wanted to for the next building phase. And the first part, and I'll speak about it now, the first part was to switch on the lights, because we've got to see the foundation that we're building upon, okay? I'll speak a little bit more now. but then the foundation that is there is the foundation of righteousness. And upon this foundation of Christ's righteousness, we are able to engage war, we are able to build, we are able to pray for the lost and so forth. And so the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. When the Holy Spirit started to guide us into the truth of what is God faith, what is religious faith, human faith and demonic faith. God faith, it comes with the life of God. It comes with the life of the Holy Spirit. And when God speaks, You experience the life of God within you, and you know this is God speaking, and faith comes from hearing. So that faith that you're receiving has life to it. It has the qualities of God's life in it. And you know the difference. You just know the difference because we all know our own human faith. We all know demonic faith that has the qualities of darkness in it, hopelessness, despair, and so forth. But God's faith has His life in it. It's got living. It's the life of the Spirit. It's what Christ has done, the victorious life. And whether it is a word of correction, it still has that life in it. Whether it is God giving a word of warning, of a judgment that's coming, it still has that life in it. You know it, what I'm talking about. And so these weapons, as the Holy Spirit now begins, as you meditate on this and you realize, but these weapons that we have divine power. What takes place as you meditate on that and ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding, to give you revelation, He will. And then all of a sudden you will realize and you'll have faith in the name of Jesus. You'll have faith in praying in the name of Jesus. You'll have faith in declaring the word of God over families. You'll have faith now because it's alive, it's living. The Holy Spirit has revealed it and He's spoken to you. So now you're using these weapons, not out of ritual, but out of, because now there's a faith attached to this. It's a living faith within you. And now you can use the weapons of God with that confidence, with that boldness. You can pray in faith now because it's real. It's not just something that you've got to do as a Christian. No, it's alive within you. Know as you're praying, the power of God. It's got the divine power to demolish strongholds, and you are actively involved with the sword of the Spirit. It's no longer just the word as we know it. You can actually know that it's a sword of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is actively involved with that word in doing something as you and I are teaching the gospel, witnessing to somebody, praying for somebody, loving somebody, being merciful to somebody, whatever it may be. All of the fruits of the Spirit, all of that is divine power that sets the captives free, the anointing of God. And so, though the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Then he carries on, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets us up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so here we start to see, as we spoke about last Sunday, that as we pray for families, as we pray for communities, you're going to see how the enemy is going to bring to our remembrance all our faults. He's going to bring to our remembrance all of this stuff. And so we have to now practice to take every thought captive and make it obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is why, as I shared last Sunday, the Holy Spirit is helping us to become aware whether our thoughts are working together with the God faith or whether our thoughts are working against the God faith. Because the way we think plays a huge role in the flow of faith or squashing faith and really being that arrows that is coming against us, trying to bring doubt, trying to just let us not believe in the word of God and so forth over there. And so please, the grace of God, help us to be able to take every thought captive and make sure that our thinking now is in line with the God faith, so that our thoughts and the God faith, the word of God, is all working together. So as Paul writes over there, since we've been raised with Christ, let your hearts be and your minds be there in the heavenly realms. It's that unity of your mind, it's the unity of your heart, it's the unity of what's in your heart, the word of God and so forth, so that there's a oneness, but it's they're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Okay, and so that is what we looked at last Sunday, and so forth. Now when we start now and we begin to look at, okay, what's our starting point? How do we begin to pray for the families? If we're honest with ourselves, each and every one of us will have to admit we're not the perfect parent. We're not the perfect husband or the perfect wife. We're not the perfect child. You know, you and I have all messed up. We have messed up many, many times. And even maybe this morning you might have messed up in an argument or something like that over there. And so our starting point is not on our good enough. It's not on our righteousness. Our starting point is again on the righteousness of Jesus. What has Christ already done? And that is why the Holy Spirit opened up that teaching a year back already, that the righteousness, and let me just give you the scriptures over here, there's the righteousness that comes from God, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is a power of God that brings salvation, Romans 1, 16 and 17, to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then to the Gentile, for in the gospel, for in this good news of God, the righteousness of God is revealed to you and I, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So straight away, our starting point is that in this gospel of God, this good news God is speaking about, guys, all of us, we have fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous. But in my good news, I'm going to give you a gift of righteousness. My son is the righteous one, and what he has done for that you could not have done, if you simply believe what I'm telling you right now, you will receive. You will be credited. My son's righteousness will be belonging to you. That's our starting point, is the righteousness of Christ. And that is why it was so important for us to begin to be able to be established on that foundation of righteousness. And so when Paul is writing about the wisdom of God, the power of God, and so forth, he speaks over here concerning the wisdom of God in verse 30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. That's profound, because we won't go into this, but the wisdom of God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So he has an insight to God's wisdom. Okay? And that is found in Christ Jesus, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And so here we see straight away that as you and I simply believed, and as we look there in Romans chapter 4 with the example of Abraham, where he just heard God speak, he simply believed and God credited to him as righteousness. And remember that word credited is that which belongs, that which is in the thoughts of God, and that which belongs to God now belongs to you and I. So that's our starting point as we pray for our families. You and I, as I said, we've all messed up. Satan will come every single time and he will point out all the mistakes that you and I have made. And he's going to say, how can you pray for your family members where you yourself are not even a good husband or a wife or a child or uncle or aunt, whatever the case may be? How can you pray? Straight away, that's an argument that's coming against the Word of God. It's an argument that's coming against what God has declared over us, that in Christ Jesus we have been justified. We have been credited his righteousness. And so straight away you've got to go to that starting point. Lord Jesus, thank you that your righteousness belongs to me. That is why I can pray for my families. That is why I can pray despite all the mess-ups I've had over there. I want to thank you. And that is why God has led us into the reality of what grace is all about. Okay. And so we have everything now. We're going to appropriate all the teachings over the past year and a half, 2 years, all those teachings in war You have to use those weapons. In war, we've got to appropriate those weapons all the time, all the time. And so we have this incredible truth that Paul is laying out of here, that Christ is our righteousness. He is our holiness. He is our redemption. And meditate on that there, because that's pretty deep when that is established and brings us into the place of what it means, how to live being fully justified by God through Christ Jesus, what it means to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's all in that there. Spend time in meditating in those scriptures over there. Ask the Holy Spirit to take you into that. Let it speak to you so that this becomes very, very real, because Satan's going to say to you, but you're not holy. You see, you're not even saved, because look at your behavior. You need to be established on the foundation of righteousness, because all of this flows from that. Okay, and so we looked at that over there now. When Paul is speaking, and in Ephesians chapter 5, and he's speaking about our past life, and now with the gift of righteousness, remember, with the gift of righteousness, what takes place is that the power of sin is broken, so that you and I are no longer slaves to sin. And that we looked at there in Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7 and chapter 8 over there. So now what does Paul say? We are now, goes on over there, for we were once darkness. That is why this teaching on righteousness switches on the lights, so that we can see. Because now we have received Jesus, we've received that gift of righteousness. So now what's happening? We are no longer in the dominion of darkness, we are in the kingdom of light. So we needed to be free of a religious righteousness, because that's darkness. We had to enter into and receive the gift of righteousness from Christ, because that's the light. Okay, so now we are living in the light. We're no longer in the dominion of darkness. We are now in the kingdom of God in light. Okay, and so Paul is speaking about our past life and those that are still in the darkness and their behavior and so forth. But he says to the body of Christ, for you were once darkness. It's fascinating. He doesn't say that you once lived in darkness. You were once darkness, because there was no Holy Spirit. There was no gift of righteousness. There was no light in us. Christ, Father, Spirit was not dwelling in us. Okay, so we were darkness. That's why in the spiritual realm, we stand out, because the folk in the occult, they see us as light. Okay? Because we were once darkness, but now we light. You see, because we are light in the Lord. And therefore, because we are no longer darkness, because we are no longer living in the darkness, because we are now light in Christ Jesus, we live as children of light. Now look at the fruit of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. This is who we are. This is why we don't fight with the weapons of the world. We are now fighting because we are in the light, and the people we are praying for are in the darkness, and we need the weapons of light to be able to set them free and coming out of the darkness. These weapons have divine power. So here's the fruit of light, consists in all goodness. And notice the emphasis to all goodness. And then this is God's goodness. It's not our human definition of goodness. And it's God's goodness, all righteousness, all truth. And he says, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. And that is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, and making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs, from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then interestingly, straight after that, he speaks about family. Okay, but here we see that for us to engage in a war, in a spiritual warfare, in praying for the families, in seeing families coming out of darkness, seeing families being saved, seeing families becoming restored, dealing with all the abuse in the families, all that takes place in families. You and I now, living in light, there is now, because we're no longer slave to sin, we are slave to righteousness. You and I need to make sure we are now living. We are living as children of light. We mustn't participate in the darkness. We mustn't give in to the sins of the flesh and so forth. You and I need to make sure now that we are now appropriating the truth, that we've died with Christ, we've raised with him, we have the gift of righteousness. Now there's a new law that's operating within us, as we saw in Romans 8, the law of the Spirit, and now we are living by the law of the Spirit. So when our spouse does something, our first reaction will normally be from the old man to come and argue, and then, no, we cannot. We're no longer slaves to that. Now we've got to say, okay, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. How's Christ going to respond to it? What has Christ already done for my spouse? What has Christ already done for my child? See, this is the weapons that you and I, that's why, guys, it's easy to know about this, but in the heat of the battle, this needs to become our default now. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in us. And this takes a while. We're getting established in this day after day, week after week, year after year, more and more and more. We find, well, I'm finding now the law of the Spirit of life is working. And it's no longer I that's responding. It's no longer I that's coming forth in that. It's now Christ in me. And when he responds, it's life. Okay. And so that is why, guys, we need to now practice. We need to be established in the fact that we have died with Christ. We've been raised with him. That power of sin is broken. Are our thoughts in line with that truth? Or are our thoughts having the war and having the arguments against those people and finding all kinds of justifications and all this stuff, and telling everybody our spouse's faults, telling everybody our children's faults, and just breaking one another down. That's contradicting the word of God. That's an argument that you need to demolish with the truth of God. Otherwise, you're not going to win the battle. Okay, our weapons are light. We are living children of light. You've got to use the weapons that are in the kingdom of God. They're light. And when we are participating in the darkness, we're using gossip, we're using slander, we're using all those things there. And that does not have the divine power of God to set the captives free. Okay. So he goes on and he says over there, find out what pleases the Lord. So this is, remember, those who walk in the Spirit have their mind set in what the Spirit desires. So as we walk in the Spirit, guys, God has told us the truth for months and months and months now. It's time to appropriate this. It's time to get serious about this. It's time for you and I, the moment we're finding that the old self wants to rise up straight away. I'm no longer a slave. That has been crucified with Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation in Jesus. Got to renew your mind. You've got to take hold of truth. It's got to be established into our hearts. Okay, so that's vital for you and I to practice and get that established over there. Now, again, here in 1 John, let me just go first to 1 John chapter 1. Here, John is writing the same thing. This is a message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. This is powerful. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and forgive our sins and purify us from all righteousness. And so here we again just see the reality of we are children of God, we are light in the Lord, we live as children of light, and that's where the fellowship, that is where we start to really experience the fatherhood of God. Okay? Next chapter, in chapter 2, and you can see why the first emphasis that the Holy Spirit was giving to you and I was understanding the gift of righteousness, because that switches on the lights. He goes on and he says over there, in 1 John chapter 2, dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yes, I'm writing to you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness, but do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them. And this is why God took us to that area where he spoke to us about the gift of righteousness, so that we, by understanding what Christ has done in his death and resurrection, we now are in that realm of God's grace. We live in the light, and now we can know how to build. If we are not in the righteousness of God, we're still in the darkness and we stumble. We don't know where we're going. You cannot build. You cannot build on the righteousness, on the foundation of righteousness, because you can't see it. But now the Holy Spirit has given us revelation. So the lights are on. We've appropriated the gift of righteousness in Christ Jesus. Now we are able to build. Now we're able to pray. One of the things that Paul writes there in Ephesians, when he speaks about the gifts and so forth, he says something over here: from him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And this is in the most incredible thing now, where we start to see how do we build. We're going to be focusing on prayer. We're going to be focusing on appropriating the truth. Now, for my family to be saved, I need your involvement. You see, this is how we build. But from him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Some are going to be evangelists. Some are going to be have a ministry for marriage counseling. Some are going to have a prophetic voice. Some are going to be in the teaching. Some are going to be this. All the different gifts. Now we need the army of God. All are needed in this war to see the families in our communities saved. Every single child of God is involved in this war. Okay, so as each one of us, whatever it may be, whatever your gifts are, some of you are strong in compassion and mercy. Some of you are strong in generosity. Some of you are strong in prayer, in encouragement, whatever it may be. Guys, all of that has divine power to demolish stronghold, has divine power that sets the captives free. And so now, this is why there's a call for the body of Christ to get into something so beautiful, to be involved in a battle to see families saved. So when the Holy Spirit, as I said right in the beginning, when the Holy Spirit started to share with me about building on that foundation of righteousness, whatever I can build, and I said, Lord, I want to build families. I want to see families build. I cannot explain to you the joy of Jesus when I said, this is what I want to build. The joy in heaven, the celebration in heaven, this is a big deal, guys. This is a big deal because every family derives its name from the fatherhood of God. Every family. Christ has come to once again restore families back to the Father so that they can be understanding what it is to be a child of God, to be loved by the Father. This is a big deal, okay? So, guys, be prepared. And then as I close over here, you want to know why the gift of righteousness and the foundation of righteousness is so important as we pray. James is writing to the body of Christ, and he says over there, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And he gives the example of Elijah in his prayer life, a righteous man, because he heard God, he simply believed God, and so also, just like Abraham, he was credited righteous because he just simply believed what God said, and he went, and he prayed that there will be no rain. There was no rain, a righteous man operating in the gift of righteousness as Abraham did. And so here we have this incredible example over here. Because we have been declared righteous, because we've been given the righteousness of Christ, our prayers are powerful and effective. Never doubt the power and the effectiveness of our prayers. Because we are on the foundation of the righteousness of Christ, not on our good enoughs, not on our failures, not on our successes, totally on Christ's incredible righteousness. That's why our prayers are powerful. That's why our prayers are effective. And this is our starting point. As we pray for family members, as we pray for loved ones, as we pray for the families in our communities, in our schools, in our workplace, in our nation, as we pray, we are praying now from this foundation of the righteousness of Jesus. And now we can pray, why? In the name of Jesus. You see how it all fits together? And what did Jesus say? That when we pray, we've got faith in his name. When we pray in his name, we come to the Father, and whatever we ask in the name of Jesus, Jesus will do it. This is our starting point. So that's why all the teachings now is now for us to be able to do the war and set the people free from Satan's dominion in that kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of God. Into the kingdom of God. Pray when the enemy says that you've messed up, when the enemy brings your past and he says, look at your children, look at your marriage, look at this, look at that. Pray, God, on the foundation of righteousness. Receive grace for your own family. Receive grace for your own relationships. Receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your own family. Pray, pray. Again, based on what Christ has done, you receive. You and I, we will be receiving for our own lives, our own relationships, but also we will be receiving for our loved ones and for our communities based on what Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter how dysfunctional your family may be now, your marriage may be now, and doesn't matter how dysfunctional relationships may be in your own family, makes no difference right now. Now you're getting on the platform, what Christ has done, and you're starting from that platform there, and now you're receiving grace to help us in our time of need. You're receiving the Holy Spirit's ministry, more and more of the Holy Spirit's ministry as you by faith receive. There comes the deliverance in the families, and there comes the deliverance in the other families that you are praying for. So, guys, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You and I, on the foundation of Christ's righteousness, rooted, he is our righteousness. We are in him. Therefore, pray. Pray, pray for your loved ones. Pray for your own lives. Pray for your own relationships. Pray the grace, the peace, the love of God in all of us. Amen. Let's pray as we have the communion quickly. Father, thank you once again. That family here on earth comes out of your fatherhood. Every family is an expression of your fatherhood. And that's why we know Satan has destroyed families so much, so that people cannot see you as the father of all family. But Christ has died, and he has reconciled all things back to you, Father. And so today we take hold of family. Jesus, the power of your blood that has redeemed and reconciled all things, every family back to the Father. And we receive that. Today we take hold of the power of your blood in redeeming. You also take hold of the power of your body that was broken for all our infirmities, for all our emotional pain, our physical pain, our spiritual pain, all the infirmities, all the iniquities, all the diseases, all of that stuff went onto your body, Jesus. So today we appropriate the healing that comes from you in families, making families whole. Your blood has redeemed, and through your body, you've made whole. By your stripes, we are healed. So today, Father, as we drink, we first of all appropriate what you have done for our own families. And we thank you as we just lift up our loved ones for their salvation, for their deliverance, for them to understand the divine purpose for why they were born, for them to know you, Father, for all the deception and the lies and the past, all of that stuff that they may be carrying and entrenched in. By your Spirit, reveal your love to them so that they can know what it is to have died with Christ, and all of that stuff is gone, and be raised up with Christ in the resurrection life of Jesus, living a new life in the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. In the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we all need revelation here. What does it mean to have been raised and to live now in the reality of the resurrection of Jesus? Show that in the context of the past, in the context of the now, in the context of the future, all the time, that we can renew our mind to know the reality of living in the reality of your resurrection, Jesus. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lead, God. So we just eat together, we drink together, Jesus, celebrating the incredible joy how you've brought us to the Father, and we can know you, Father. Father, today, thank you. And I'm asking now as you just lean forwards, embrace each and every one of us, restoring your fatherhood, that which the enemy has tried to steal and rob from our own lives, from our past, from relationships, whatever it may be. Today, Father, by your Spirit, I receive and I release that restoration to take place in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.